Today is Father's Day. Well, let's hope you're listening to this on Father's Day and I can get my act together and record and edit this episode. But assuming I can, today is Father's Day. Shout out to all the dads listening to this podcast. And as I thought about what I would do for my old man today, and also coordinate schedules of things that I'm doing with my own son and things with my in-laws, I wondered to myself, who is responsible for this holiday? And then I thought to myself, if we call this thing a holiday, there has to be economic implications, and I wanted to understand the retail implications. So this episode is all about Father's Day, the history, the economics, and what it means to be a modern working father. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast episode 124. Let's start with the history of Father's Day. Father's Day has its roots in Catholicism, and specifically St. Joseph's Day. Joseph being the father of Jesus, there was typically father-related celebrations in March, specifically March 19th, for St. Joseph's Day. And for those of you that are Italian or maybe know Italian people, there was these little St. Joseph's Day cakes that were associated with St. Joseph's Day. And I used to get these cakes because my name is Joseph. Now I kind of want one of those cakes. And they had these weird little green maraschino cherries on top. But anyway, in America, the fatherly aspect of celebrating St. Joseph's Day never really caught on. And because of a series of actions that took place, which we will get to in a couple of seconds, America typically celebrates Father's Day, the third Sunday of June. And there's no way to talk about Father's Day without acknowledging Mother's Day. American Father's Day is a direct result of Mother's Day being celebrated. So after Anna Jarvis successfully promoted Mother's Day, a small church in West Virginia tried to get a Father's Day celebration going. A woman named Grace Clayton was mourning the loss of her father, and they had a celebratory mass. And they tried to keep this celebration going, but ultimately it fell through. And that's going to be a recurring theme with Father's Day. Multiple organizations attempted to have an official Father's Day, and it didn't stick for a while. A woman named Sonora Smart Dodd was at that West Virginia celebration for Father's Day a few years earlier and attempted to get it going again. Her father was a Civil War veteran named William Jackson Smart, and he was a single parent who raised six children. So she tried to get a Father's Day celebration going at the old Centenary Presbyterian Church, now known as the Knox Presbyterian Church. And she wanted to get Father's Day going on June 5th, which was her father's birthday. But the pastor said it wasn't enough time, so they picked the third Sunday of June. So on June 19th, 1910, the first Father's Day was celebrated. But Dodd went off to go to school and was doing other things, and it did not catch on for 20 more years. In the 1930s, Dodd returned to Spokane and started promoting Father's Day again, and she tried to raise national awareness. But in order to do that, you need sponsorship. So like any good lobbyist, she reached out to trade groups that would benefit most from the holidays, such as makers of ties, tobacco pipes, and any traditional presents for a father. In 1938, she had the help of the Father's Day Council, which was founded by the New York Association Menswear Retailers, and they consolidated and systematized the holiday's commercial promotion. And guess what? Americans and fathers were super resistant to the idea of another retail holiday. There were newspapers at the time featuring cynical and sarcastic attacks and jokes. But Dodd and the retailers, they remained resilient, they kept pushing, and by the mid-1980s, the Father's Day Council wrote that Father's Day has become a second Christmas for men's gift-oriented industries. There is a New Yorker article from 2014 by Ian Crouch, and I quote, "The custom of buying dad a necktie, or another manly present such as tobacco, cologne, or power tools and gadgets, aided by yearly ad blitzes, became the mid-century's middle-class standard, with mothers taking their kids to the department store to pick out a tie, a razor, or a bottle of Old Spice. They were rather gloomy offerings, and symbols of the white-collar dad's professional life, his routine, his absence, and his almost generic unknowability."
You don't know much about me, do you?
Well, I do know that I carried you from the hospital the day you were born. I remember because I accidentally left you on the top of the car. I was about to drive away when I heard this sad little voice say, "Stop, you're forgetting me." So I got out, let your mother in, and there you were.
Oh, Daddy, I've never felt so close to you. So this week, let's make sure that we never see each other, okay?
I think that would bring us even closer together.
Now let's talk about the economic impact of Father's Day. So today, in 2018, Father's Day spending is expected to reach $15.3 billion. The first thing I thought of was, well, how much did Mother's Day bring in? And apparently that was $23.1 billion. So the public is definitely spending more money on mom, which is probably a good thing. According to the National Retail Foundation, consumer confidence continues to rise, and 77% of Americans will celebrate Father's Day and spend an average of $133 per person, treating dads to special outings, clothing, gift cards, electronics, and more. This expected spending is second only to last year, which was $15.5 billion. The National Retail Foundation has a trend line of spending habits for Father's Day going back to 2007. In 2007, spending for Father's Day hit about $10 billion. Then it dips down for a few years because of the recession that occurred. In 2010, it starts to build its way back up, again back to $10 billion. The next year is $11 billion. 2012 is $12.5 billion. 13 is $13.5 billion. I'm not making this up. 14 drops back down to $12.5. 16 gets slightly over $14 billion. In 2017, it gets back to $15.5 billion, like we mentioned before, and now we're seeing a modest dip to $15.3 billion. Some of you may or may not be aware of my previous blogging history. I spent 4 years after my son was born writing at babycenter.com, and I wrote an article a week at BabyCenter. So there are like 200 articles from me on this site about all kinds of various parenting topics. And I would always have my annual Father's Day Grumpus article. That was my shtick on BabyCenter. When I was allowed to actually write an article with my personality, I kind of like to be grumpy. There was way too many celebrity baby articles and, "What is Jessica Alba feeding her child? Read more." I didn't do those kind of articles. Anyway, writing consistently about parenting and children, it forced me to constantly think about my relationship with my son on a weekly basis. And if I was spending enough time with him, if I felt like I was getting enough FaceTime with him, if I was distracted with things at work. And there are definitely, especially this year, days that I feel extremely guilty about my own personal work habits and not spending enough time with him. And I'm not alone. The Pew Research Organization recently published this article, 7 Facts About American Dads, by Kim Parker and Gretchen Livingston. And they provided some additional insights into the mindset of the modern working father that I thought I should share. Compared to 50 years ago, dads are much more involved in childcare. And I quote, "In 2016, fathers reported spending, on average, 8 hours per week on childcare, about triple the time they provided back in 1965. And fathers put in about 10 hours a week on household chores in 2016, up from 4 hours in 1965. By comparison, mothers spent an average of about 14 hours a week on childcare and 18 hours a week on household work in 2016. While fathers are spending more time with their children, many feel like they are still not doing enough. Most men, 63% according to this survey, say they spend too little time with their kids, compared with 35% of mothers who say the same. For both dads and moms who say that they spend too little time with their kids, work obligations are cited most often as the main reason. Dads are also less positive about their own parenting abilities compared to moms. Just 39% of fathers said in 2015 that they are doing a very good job raising their children, compared to 51% of mothers. So men are struggling with work-family balance, and it's an ongoing concern that we're not doing enough. To continue with this Pew Research article, and again, I quote, "Just like mothers, many of today's fathers find it challenging to balance work and family life. About half of working dads, 52%, said in 2015 that it is very or somewhat difficult to do so, a slightly smaller share than the 60% of working mothers who said the same. There are 3 in 10 working dads, 29%, that always feel rushed, as did 37% of working mothers. Working fathers were also about as likely as working mothers to say that they would prefer to be home with their children, but they needed to work because they need the income." Well, duh. 48% of dads and 52% of moms said this in 2012. Working dads and moms were also equally likely to say that even though it takes them away from their families, they want to keep working. Most people aren't independently wealthy, so you have to remain gainfully employed. So this is a quick one this week. I just wanted to give everyone a little bit of history as to how Father's Day started. And regardless of its origins, take this beautiful Sunday to celebrate your father, to celebrate your children, to make peace with your place in the universe and your working life, and just enjoy your damn barbecue or your golfing, and don't get so stressed out. Peace out, everybody. I'm gonna go hang out with my kid.
Oh, mein Papa, to me was so wonderful. Oh, mein Papa, come on, Dad, to me. He was so good. You know the words.
And that's all we have for this week. You can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.